AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday morning. It is beautiful. It has been beautiful all week in Texarkana, Texas. And I had some friends in from out of town. We were playing golf on Monday afternoon, and then we played golf yesterday. We had the big First Baptist Church / From His Heart Ministries golf tournament, annual golf tournament at the beautiful Northridge Country Club here in Texarkana, Texas, and went really well. We had 23 teams playing, and everybody had a good time. And lo and behold, yours truly hit the ball closest to the pin on the special hole designated for closest to the pin, and he won a gift, a financial gift, $150 that he immediately gave back to the ministry, but it was fun nonetheless. And so we are always glad when that tournament comes around, because it's a great time to just be out there and have great fellowship and then let people know more about the outreach of From His Heart Ministries. Well, and I do want to say too, Tim Wildman was so gracious. American Family Radio sponsored that helped sponsor the tournament along with Pray.com and Dunham & Company and a number of John MacArthur's ministry and a number of other places. And so we're very, very grateful. Okay, you're very familiar. 1 Chronicles 12:32 about the sons of Issachar. They were men who understood the times and what Israel should do. Now, when I think about the times as it relates to geopolitics, there's one of my friends that I go to talk about this stuff. He's been a frequent guest on Real Truth for Today, and that's Rod D. Martin. Rod is a geopolitical commentator and philosopher, the founder and CEO of Martin Capital. There's lots going on today. Donald Trump just landed in Beijing, China for meetings with the Chinese leadership. And so, Rod, we have a host of questions we want to ask you about, but let's start there. Trump in China, what are the ramifications of that meeting?
Well, the first one is we are in a radically different place than we were just a year and a half ago. You know, a year and a half ago, under the Biden-Harris team, we were facing the Chinese in control of the ports on both ends of the Panama Canal, the Chinese in functional control in Venezuela and Cuba, the very real prospect of a growing Chinese Navy to increasingly have basing rights in the Caribbean, and just right at the openings to the Gulf of Mexico. We were facing a geopolitical disaster about which Washington was doing less than nothing. I mean, it was so bad that the Chinese actually were establishing a base in the south of Argentina that would have been able to threaten traffic around South America. So you're talking about the slow strangulation of the United States with complete United States complicity, that the Democrats let this happen. If anything, they engineered a lot of this under the Clinton administration. The rise of China is directly attributable to Washington. So a year and a half later, here we are, and all of that is gone. You know, we have absolute rock solid control of the Panama Canal. Venezuela is in our camp. Cuba is about to fall. Iran is one of China's supposedly biggest allies, certainly one of its biggest sources of oil. That's offline now. And most importantly, in East Asia, All of China's choke points are now very plainly under U.S. control. Whether you're talking about the Strait of Malacca, through which 80% of their oil flows, or Sunda or Lombok or Makassar, wherever you want to look, the United States has developed in warp speed some kind of just world-upending security infrastructure. Even India and Indonesia, which have always been pillars of the non-aligned movement, although to be fair, the Indians always seem pretty aligned with the Russians, all of a sudden they flipped onto the American side with really solid agreements signed just in the last several months. So the world is turned upside down as Trump goes to Beijing. It's a completely different map. That map is closing in on China. We have a deep dive on that this morning at rodmartin.org that you should check out. Mm-hmm. And Trump goes into this in a position where China is under an economic squeeze because of the gas lines it's facing due to restriction of oil supply, and its options have diminished. So Xi Jinping has some hard decisions to make, but among them is this. With an increasingly tanking economy and an impendingly shrinking population, he needs to double down on exports, and that's exactly what he's done. And to do that, he has to have access to the U.S. market. So there will be a bunch of horse trading. They will use the advantages they still have, but mm-hmm. I feel very confident that we're moving to a much more constrained China and a much better trading relationship, actually, with China that benefits both countries instead of just taking advantage of one of them.
Rod, when Donald Trump goes into a meeting like that, he's got in his mind what a win is for him. What's a win for America and Trump in this meeting?
You know, the biggest single thing is probably rare earths. It's still true that the Chinese control most rare earths refining. And, you know, for those who don't know what that is, those are the metals that go into your iPhone, your F-35 fighter jets, you name it, these things matter. They aren't especially rare. That is a misnomer, but they're rarer in the earth than, say, hydrogen and helium and iron. So they're called rare earths on the periodic table. And we have a lot of them here. Actually, the United States has enough to supply the world 85% of all global needs just from here, but we don't produce it. We have very pointedly avoided producing it because it's a somewhat dirty process. The refining process is not cheap, and all the more so because we actually have serious environmental restrictions on things. We actually care about having a clean environment, as opposed to China, which is building, on average, 2 new coal plants per week while preaching the Green New Scam to the West. So yeah, they don't care about their environment. They care about their dominance. And so it was cheap and easy for the world to outsource rare earths refining to the Chinese. People actually ship them rare earths for them to refine and sell back. And of course, it's only the refined stuff that really matters. They refine 92% of the world's rare earths. That's changing. Trump is just on a campaign to diversify rare earths refining among U.S. allies, certainly Australia, potentially Ukraine, other parts of the world. Venezuela is one of them, but above all, the United States. And of course, our favorite foreign ally, the Republic of Texas, which has a new rare earths refining plant in Fort Worth that's really going like gangbusters. So that's the biggest thing. And the oil situation really helps with that, because we have just demonstrated a capacity to dramatically threaten China's energy supplies, not just the new defense agreement with Indonesia, you know, not just the Iran war. The interdiction of Shadow Fleet tankers over the past 6-8 months has really sent shockwaves through the world. And virtually all of Russia's oil exports, virtually all of Venezuela's, virtually all of Iran's were going through those illegal Shadow Fleet tankers that now the U.S. Navy, but also the Indian Navy and the Belgian Navy and the Swedish Navy and lots of allied navies are helping us capture and take their oil and sell it because it's illegal and they aren't allowed to have it. But that oil was 40% of China's imports. They're the biggest importer in the world, and that 40% was coming to them at a steep discount, which was propping up their economy in an illicit fashion. And now that's gone. So Trump has a very strong hand on energy. Xi still has a pretty strong hand on rare earths in the short term. We're talking 3 to 5 years tops, and they will both play those hands. So rare earths is big, energy for China. We may actually end up selling energy to China. That would be a boon to everybody because it's kind of hard to attack your oil supplier. And hopefully we get to a more peaceful situation in the Taiwan Strait.
Okay, Rod, the famous phrase, politics makes strange bedfellows. China linked up with Iran. They couldn't be more different in terms of being an atheistic country and a radical Islamic country. From China's perspective, they just use Iran for the oil, and so we'll support you for this. I mean, they can't they definitely wouldn't agree on their ideology or how they. Well, maybe how they run their country because they're brutal too. But what's the connection there?
Well, it's very much like Mayor Mamdani's Red-Green Alliance in New York. It's not really about the ideologies themselves. When they win, they'll start killing each other. That's a given. Mm-hmm. But in the short term, they have one enemy, and that's the United States. Okay. You know, and you'll hear some of our friends talk about, you know, their enemy being Israel. Well, China doesn't give a penny about Israel. That's irrelevant to them. The Iranians do. None of them really care. It's about America. It always was. The Iranians have always, and by always, I mean since the Islamist takeover in 1979, the Islamic regime has always labeled Israel the little Satan and America the great Satan. We're the target. We're the people in the way of both of their ideologies prospering. So yeah, they've linked up. And of course, it's not just the oil in China and Iran's case. It's also the fact that Iran made itself the center of every military conflict in the Middle East. There's not a single active military conflict in the Middle East in the last 5 or 10 years that hasn't been armed, funded, and directed from Tehran. And that has been wonderful from the Chinese perspective because it raised the price of oil for the West while they're getting all this steeply discounted illicit oil for themselves. And it also created trouble for the United States, tying our forces down in regions around the world that are far away from China. So, you know, that's what the Iran operation is about more than anything else. It's rolling that up in the same way we have just rolled up Chinese influence in the Caribbean. And the net result of that is we're able to focus fire if we need to focus fire in East Asia against our biggest geopolitical, not just competitor, but let's be honest about it, enemy.
Mm-hmm. Where does North Korea fit into that axis of evil?
North Korea is an interesting case. A friend of mine wrote an essay on this 20 years ago called Ferocious, Crazy, and Weak. And that's their MO. They want you to believe that they will do crazy things so that you don't do things to them. And that has largely worked for them. They have been successful in avoiding anything that deeply threatens their interests. And, you know, more power to them on that, I guess. Someday that regime will fall. Someday Korea will be free. But in the meantime, they're kind of an also-ran. They are supplying help to the Russians in their invasion of Ukraine, which is going horribly awry. And they're certainly a problem area for the United States, as Iran has been. But They're not a meaningful threat, especially if the United States deploys Trump's Golden Dome missile defense that will shoot down enemy ballistic missiles. That's really key.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my friend Rod Martin. We're talking about the climate of the geopolitical situation, Trump in Beijing, what's going on in Iran, and other things that you need to know about. We'll be right back.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to my friend, geopolitical commentator Rod Martin. And when I want to know something about what's going on in the world and how to understand it from a Christian perspective, I immediately think of Rod Martin because he's one of the smartest guys I know, and he's very insightful when it comes to how these pieces on the world chessboard are being moved. You know, Rod, one of the things that I marvel at is how astute Donald Trump is when it comes to understanding the world. Now, I don't think he understands Islam very well, but as far as what is in the interests of America, he understands that really well. He understands we have to control this area, we have to control that area, as you said at the beginning of the program. Biden was letting China start to take over all that stuff. If you think about the game Monopoly, you can't afford to let your opponent have two streets on the board. How do you think Trump gets his information in terms of understanding those things? Because he seems extremely insightful with that.
You know, one of the things is that Trump really listens to people. And that sounds counterintuitive because, of course, the inner media has just spent a decade telling us what an idiot and just megalomaniac the man is. That's not at all who he is. And in private, that's shockingly clear. This is a kind, gentlemanly soul in private who really cares about kids and really really cares about the people who work for him, even at the very lowest level. And, you know, somebody will get in trouble. You know, a widow will lose her husband, not have a way to keep her house, and he'll just write a check and pay her off her mortgage. And, I mean, it's just not at all as presented. So this is a man who actually knows what he doesn't know. He's old enough to know better, and he actually seems to. And he plays this character in public that keeps his enemies off balance and guessing all the time. But it's not hard to read between those lines if you just want to, if you come to it honestly. And I had to do that because I was not for Donald Trump. I was for Ted Cruz. And before that, I was for Mike Huckabee. You know, these are friends of mine. They're both good Southern Baptists. We have a shot at a good Southern Baptist president in 2015. And I was all excited about it. And then we lost. And now it's Trump or Hillary. And, you know, the truth is I've been following Trump's career since the 80s. And I knew, you know, this is not this crazy fascist that National Review wants you to think he is.
Right.
That's just not who he is. So who is he? And I went back and I reread a bunch of his books. He's written a ton of books, and they talk about his negotiating strategy, his communication strategy. They talk about what he wants to do and he wants America to be. You know, back decades ago, he was lining out all the same things that he's talking about now. He was doing it in a little more acceptable fashion to the elites who are off put by his communication style now. But he knows better. He knows half the country has less than 100 IQ. So he communicates to the country and doesn't care what the Beltway elites think. Right. And that is refreshing. And it also points to this very highly educated man's actual functional humility, which is just crazy to say, but it's true. Yes. Listens to everybody. He listens to every news source he has time to listen to. He reads a lot more than you would think, and he listens to people. He, you know, a lot of people have his phone number and can just pick it up and call him, and he takes a lot of those calls, and he synthesizes it through that businessman's mind who's been doing major real estate deals for decades, and he knows when he's getting conned. So, you know, he's really quite astute. And you mentioned, you know, I don't think he really understands Islam. Well, I don't know that he does, but I know he knows how to get Islamic leaders to do what he wants an awful lot of the time. And we just saw that in the UAE, which technically is ruled by Sharia law. And it's you know, the different emirates are absolute monarchies, at least on paper, and you certainly don't want to cross the emir. But at the same time, they just ditched OPEC. They just joined what amounts to an American-led energy bloc. And you know, their departure trashes OPEC's ability to manipulate global oil prices. They're seeking a currency swap line with the United States. They want to be in that club with Western Europe and Japan. They want to actually be married to the dollar system. That is a dagger at the heart of Xi Jinping's plans to harm the dollar. And we now learned, the Wall Street Journal reported yesterday, they are conducting military strikes in Iran alongside us covertly, possibly even spec ops on the ground. This is an ally in every possible sense, and it's Islamic. And the question becomes, okay, do you have to understand their theology, or do you just have to understand how to get them to act against it? And he has a great instinct for that.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Rod. Who do you think Trump would say has influenced him into making him the person he is, understanding the world the way he does? Have you ever heard him talk about that?
Yeah, I would say he would list first and foremost Fred Trump, his father. He was incredibly well parented, it turns out, by both his mother and his father. Not believers, certainly. You know, I don't know if any of the Trumps are believers. I hope one or two of them are, and I hope one of those is the president. And we pray every single day for the Trumps' salvation, all of them. But for non-Christian people, I have to say, the Trumps have been shockingly good parents. And you see that in Donald Trump's life, too. His kids love him. They're all remarkably successful and capable, and they love their folks. So Fred Trump is the biggest single influence, and Fred was a pretty amazing guy. I think we would have to be honest and say that Trump might not list Roy Cohn, but he should. And Roy, of course, was a fixture of American political life, particularly in the 50s and later. And in much later life, he mentored a young Donald Trump. Another one is Roger Stone, who has been a close friend of the president's for decades, and actually is the one who talked him into running for president. And so, you know, these guys have taught him a savvy that is largely lacking in a lot of political types. Mm-hmm. And it applied, of course, brilliantly to real estate deals and then to media deals. Remember, he had the top-rated show in America. You know, I think it had 15 seasons. That's not a small thing to pull off. And then on top of all of that, of course, it comes full circle into politics itself. So he's had some interesting mentors, and they are an interesting crew to be sure. but it worked.
Okay, so Rod, we hear from legacy media, you know, the rest of the world laughs at Donald Trump. They see him as a buffoon and a, you know, blowhard and all these things. The real story, from your perspective, from my perspective, is the rest of the world, those world leaders, they're afraid of him because Trump plays hardball. How do you see that?
The American media has a very small idea of the rest of the world. It has always, throughout your and my lifetime, considered the rest of the world to be a handful of white European elites who all share their values and go to the same clubs and schools. And so, you know, when they say that the rest of the world is, you know, thinks Trump is a buffoon, no, they're talking about a handful of European leaders, business and political, who are just horrified by all of this. Well, why are they horrified by it? They're horrified by it because they're against the idea of nation states. They don't believe national sovereignty should exist. Nearly all of them are childless. They have no concept of the future, which is exactly why a country like Germany is willing to import virtually all of the population of Syria and just remake Germany. And it's hardly the only country in Europe to have done that over the last decade, because they aren't future oriented. None of these leaders have children. They don't have children. They're not planning for the future of their grandkids the way you or I are. Right. So there's that. But the third thing is Europe is freeloading. Europe and Canada have been living off the U.S. defense budget for decades. Britain has twice as many admirals as warships. The Germans show up at NATO exercises with broomsticks because they don't have enough rifles, and they lecture us. And they want us to do more in Ukraine. You know, Merz just told us that Iran is not our war. Well, Ukraine is not our war. That's you guys' backyard, and you can't do anything for them. And you've actually made yourself dependent on Russian energy so much that you've sent twice as much money to Moscow during this war as you have to Kiev. And I mean, they're financing Putin's war. So when Trump comes in and says, no, we're not going to do that anymore, and you're going to actually build real militaries, and you're actually going to police your own neighborhood, and we're going to help you, they're horrified by that in the exact same way that a lazy teenager is horrified when his dad says, you got to go to the gym and you got to get a job. That's what's happened. Now, the rest of the world, I just took you through a laundry list. My gosh, we just signed defense agreements with the two pillars of the non-aligned movement, for heaven's sake. We have built a completely new security architecture in the Far East. We are in the process of it in the Middle East. The only laggards are, in fact, Western Europe. And Eastern Europe is great. You know, that's the other thing. We shouldn't lump all of Europe together. Poland is a great ally. Sweden is a great ally. Even Estonia, which is the size of my table, Estonia is a great ally. When Trump said, hey, we'd like you guys to send some minesweepers, the Estonians say, heck yeah, we're sending them. So we've got an entire world filled with allies, and then we've got guys who are run by the European equivalent of the Democratic Party in Western Europe who poo-hoo and make these guys feel inadequate. And so they're super ashamed of what America is doing and American power, because they might offend some of their friends in Brussels or Davos. That's not real. That's a joke.
Yeah, very good. All right, the Iranian war, Rod, do you think that's coming to a close? I marvel that they're able to still keep going and still keep a stranglehold on their people when they've just been so decimated. How long can that keep going?
Well, it can keep going until you hit some critical mass where it can no longer keep going. I mean, this is like, you know, you've heard the story about, you know, how did you go bankrupt? Well, first gradually and then suddenly. And that's where they are. They're going bankrupt because the blockade is depriving them of between $400 and $500 million a day. I mean, this is not a large country. It's a large country in terms of population, but not in terms of economy. It's got 10 times the population of postage stamp sized Israel, but only half of Israel's economy. I mean, 400 to 500 million a day is real money. Mm-hmm. So, and most of that, you know, goes to funding the Iranian government. So we are depriving them of that. There was an interesting story yesterday. It's the second time the president has done this. You know, he kind of ad-libbed on camera, as he's prone to doing, about how we wanted to send the Iranian people arms, but those darn Kurds stole it. Well, trust me, that's a signal and a distraction. It's a signal that we are arming and training the Iranian people, or at least the right Iranian people, mm-hmm. as we speak. And that's part of what the ceasefire is about. It's buying time for that process. It's also a distraction to the people who take that and say, oh, Donald Trump got hoodwinked. What an idiot he is. Right. So he throws his enemies off while he tells you what he's doing. And Goldie Gomari did a great job of spelling that out yesterday. She pointed out that, and of course, she's an Iranian exile who has been a member of the Ontario Parliament in Canada, and she's become a human rights activist. Goldie was pointing out yesterday at some length that the president posted without comment a video of Mark Levin talking about what he would do if he were president in terms of arming and training key forces within Iran. The president reposted this, didn't comment on it, which tells you he agrees with it. And that's your signal. So the ceasefire is buying some time for us to get things in place for the final run at the Iranian regime. It's also buying time for this summit because there are some things we would like China to do to help us with Iran. And they may not go for it, but they might, because we saw the Iranian foreign minister went to Beijing last week. And he got a tongue lashing from the Chinese. They are not happy with what the Iranians are doing because it's hurting the Chinese economy. And mm-hmm. so you may see China flip on Iran. And if not, you may see them pull back even from that help, that very little help that they're giving now.
Mm. Well, we're talking to Rod Martin, geopolitical commentator and philosopher, the founder and CEO of Martin Capital. You're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, your host. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my friend Rod Martin. We're talking about what is going on in the world. Rod is a very astute geopolitical commentator and philosopher. And we've been talking about a host of things. And Rod, one of the things that has come up, people, you know, the left hates Donald Trump. No big surprise there. They're against whatever he's for. But he got asked, I don't know who the interviewer was, but he got asked about inflation. And, you know, I mean, in my very simplistic thinking, I mean, Trump is trying to prepare a gourmet meal for America, and they're pulling the roast out of the oven after it's been in there 5 minutes and saying this is not done. And so this is what he was asked about inflation. This was his response.
You go back to just before the war, for the last 3 months, inflation was at 1.7%. Now, we had a choice. let these lunatics have a nuclear weapon. If you want to do that, then you're a stupid person, and you happen to be. I mean, I know you very well. Anybody that wants them to have a nuclear weapon is a stupid person. So we said we're going to take the greatest stock market in history, and we're going to go down a little bit. And actually, that turned out to be incorrect, because our stock market is now at the highest point in history, which frankly surprised a lot of people. It's a very simple message. Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. And
I think what he said is pretty easy to follow. Yeah, we're going to have some dips here, and actually increases in inflation and things like that for the greater good. His tactfulness is not always the best, as far as, you know, just poking everybody in the eye. But what do you make of that clip, Rod?
You know, tactfulness is sometimes overrated. Jesus was frequently not very tactful. And Ezekiel is just off the chart. And check out Elijah mocking Baal to his priests. I mean, you know, the Bible's full of this, so I don't get too bent out of shape about any of that. But the truth is, he's right. You'd have to be pretty stupid to want Iran to have a nuclear weapon, as some of our leaders clearly have. And you have media figures who are like, well, why shouldn't Iran have a nuclear weapon? We have one. Fair is fair. No, that's not how things work. Our country, our government exists to protect our people. If they have a nuclear weapon, they're the one country on the planet that might really use it. Mm-hmm. You know, we've demonstrated that the North Koreans aren't as crazy as they pretend to be, but the Iranians are actually crazier than they look, because their eschatology says that they have to actually burn down the world to get their Messiah, the Mahdi, to return. So you can't let these people have a nuclear weapon, and he's spot on about that. What that does translate to, and we've been talking about this for a long time, this war is a short-term thing. And people are, oh, it's been going on for weeks. Yeah, most wars go on for years. Ask Russia and Ukraine about that.
Right.
Ask George Bush about Afghanistan. You know, this has been weeks. We've eliminated probably upwards of 70% of the targets we could eliminate in Iran. There's not a lot left that we really need to go after, and the ceasefire has given us time to find what they've hidden. So that's a short-term thing. And when it's over, then oil prices come down significantly. But that's also in the context of all this Venezuelan supply coming online, which wasn't before, because the socialist kleptocrats that ran Venezuela were destroying that oil industry through just ineptitude. And now you've got American companies coming back. They're the ones who actually built those fields and built those facilities in the first place. They know how to run them. They're coming back in. They're getting them back online. That will enrich Venezuela, but it will also bring down the price of oil. And same thing for Alberta. We just signed this new deal for a pipeline that can carry 500,000 barrels a day from Alberta into the United States. That's a big deal. The UAE coming out of OPEC, ditching OPEC, that renders OPEC virtually incapable of fixing global oil prices ever again. So on all these points, you see a downward pressure on the price of oil. That brings down the price of fertilizer. That brings down the price of gasoline. That brings down the price of literally everything. And that's in the context also of, in March, we had three times the job growth that was expected. We're in a CapEx boom, which means people are building factories like crazy. And in the short term, that's a lot of construction jobs. In the slightly longer term, that is a massively greater number of upper middle class, high skilled factory work. That's transformative. That's rebuilding the American dream that existed before we shipped all our jobs to China. And Trump is all over it. So I really think, you know, we're into the year, so there's no question we don't have that much time between now and the midterms. But we have enough, I believe, and I think you get into a pretty serious economic boom well in advance of November. And by next year, you just won't believe all the prosperity. You know, it'll be like Trump saying, you know, you'll get tired of winning, just too much winning. And that's where we're headed.
Yeah, well, that's good. I don't think I'd ever get tired of winning, but yeah, I understand the sentiment. Okay, let's go to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We have Bob on the line from Virginia. Bob, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, great. Thank you. I appreciate your program. Appreciate Rod and all he does. I've got two questions for you. One is, if we don't use any oil in Iran, why are gas prices so high here in the United States if we're using domestic oil? And the second question is, I love Trump and what he's doing for America. So if he is so smart, and he is, why can't he solve the national debt within a few weeks, months, a year? And thank you for all that you do. I'll hang up and listen to your comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that. All right, Rod.
Well, thank you. And as far as the debt, that's actually a pretty easy answer. It's $38 trillion. The United States economy is only $30 trillion. You know, and to be fair, those are kind of different numbers because that 37 or 38 trillion is a static number. The U.S. economy is $30 trillion a year. So we have to keep that in perspective. But no, you're not going to pay it off in one lump. That's not going to happen. But what you can do is first tackle the deficit, which is the difference between what we take in tax revenue and what we spend each year. The Biden team got that deficit up to almost $2 trillion a year. So you're massively increasing the national debt every single year. And we see where it went. It went to luring centers in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. It went to all this Medicaid fraud in California. It went to USAID, which had a bigger budget than the State Department and the CIA combined and was spending it on things like forced sterilizations of Native women in Peru and advancing the LGBTQ agenda in Africa and overthrowing governments in Europe and the Middle East. So, you know, Trump is cutting all of that as fast as he can. He's also increasing revenue. The tariffs, it's almost a misnomer. Yes, we've got a lot of tariff revenue. Yes, that actually matters, but that's not really where it's going. Where it's going is it's facilitating the creation of a lot of new American industry that pays a lot of new American taxes. And then on top of that, you get Kevin Warsh over at the Fed. He just got confirmed yesterday. He's up for confirmation as chairman of the Fed next week. You get him over at the Fed. The biggest, cruelest tax on Americans right now is actually interest rates that are at least 200 basis points higher than they ought to be just to hurt Trump. And that's got to change. And Warsh will change it, and suddenly interest rates come back to a reasonable number, and everybody is more prosperous as a result. That means more tax revenue, which means a lower debt. And I really think that Trump could potentially, not guaranteeing this, but could potentially by the end of his term actually have the budget in surplus and be paying down the debt. But if not, the next Republican president absolutely could. And we proved that through Republican budgetary measures in the late 90s. Bill Clinton got credit for it, but Newt Gingrich forced it down Clinton's throat and he got the benefit of it. So that's the debt question. As far as inflation, you know, the truth of the matter is we have a structural problem on gasoline. We haven't built a refinery in this country since the 1970s. And the Democrats in California have shuttered a bunch of refineries that we did have. So there's a new refinery under construction right now for the first time in virtually our whole lifetime. That will help because your car can't burn crude oil. So we have a bottleneck at the supply of gasoline itself, and we're solving that, but that's going to take a little bit of time, just like the rare earths thing. So anyway, you bring down oil prices and gas prices will drop, but they won't drop as much as they will after we have more refining capacity, more pipeline capacity, more transport capacity. All of that is necessary. And it's coming. I mean, this administration is pushing it really hard. One final thing on that, the Energy Department under Trump has fast-tracked these safe, small modular nuclear reactors that use advanced technology. It's impossible for them to melt down. It's basically impossible to have the kind of accident you had at Fukushima or Chernobyl. It cannot happen. It's just physically impossible. And that will take a tremendous amount of pressure off the electrical grid at a time when we need more electricity than ever. And if you can produce it that way, you don't have to burn oil to produce it. You don't have to burn as much gas to produce it. So you export that stuff, you bring a ton of money into the United States from the exports, and we're making bank on our domestic nuclear power. And so the Trump team has a full-orbed strategy on this that's really quite remarkable, and I just don't know how they get it all done. There has never been a presidential term that has gone this far, this fast, on this many different things.
It's mind-blowing for sure. Well, that was very good, Rod. Okay, we have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be on your show again, Pastor. And Mr. Martin, I really enjoy your posts every morning.
Thank you.
I've got a question. I've got a question and a comment. My question is, what did AOC mean by we don't need a president? And I also want to know, why don't the Republican parties run 10 or 15 second ads on TV, the effects of socialism, Marxism, communism, and those isms that so many Americans are so thrilled about? Maybe you can explain that to me. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, David.
Well, the Republican capacity to shoot itself in the foot is almost infinite. So if we are not doing a good job of explaining the horrors of socialism, that is very much on us. And you should go to town halls and you should speak to your local political leaders and gripe at them and tell them to go gripe at those who are higher ranking than they are, because they actually do listen to those things. When people are discontent, it worries them. They might lose their cushy elected position. As far as the rest, I would point out that we have a moment in time here that is quite extraordinary. It is unique in the last 90 years. AOC says we don't even need a president. I can't read her mind. I don't know what she means by that, but I know what her party has always meant by that. In the 1930s, the Democrats, during the height of the Depression under FDR, set up what we call the deep state or the administrative state, this enormous labyrinth of administrative agencies that unconstitutionally wield legislative, executive, and judicial power. Mm-hmm. Mixing the branches, eliminating checks and balances, all while, and I stress while, having no accountability to anybody. The president can't fire these people. They have effectively college professor level tenure. And so the Trump team has come in and taken direct aim at that. We're actually making an effort to change that. But the truth is, the Democrats liked that. And you say, well, that seems like it would reduce FDR's power. No, because he filled all those agencies with Democrats. And those Democrats have been appointing their successors ever since. So there are 2.8 million people running the government all day, every day. One elected president and a handful of political appointees. There's no way any Republican ever wins that fight unless he actually changes the terms of the game. That's what AOC wants. She wants an unaccountable socialist bureaucracy like the nomenklatura in the Soviet Union. Donald Trump wants to restore constitutional governance, and it's happening. We just have a lot of work yet to do.
Very good. Well, Rod, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for sharing your insights. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And guess what? God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.